This is an interview with Nick Treif for the Youngstown State University Oral History Program regarding Romanian culture in Mahoning County by John Montine at 952 East Philadelphia Avenue on September the 10th, 1975 at 7 o'clock p.m. What part of Romania did your parents come from?
Well, I come from what they call Transylvania.
What city, section, or any part of Transylvania did they come from? Was it by any big city or anything?
It was between Sibiu and Mediaș.
It was a little village here?
Yeah, the name was Agribici.
Oh, I see. Now, when did they come to Romania first of all? The first time your parents?
To this country?
Yes.
Oh, I say around 1904.
I see. What motivated your parents to come to the United States around 1904?
Well, his main reason was to come here and make some money and go back and buy the land from my uncle and my aunt.
Oh, I see. Were you born in this country?
Me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was born in Camel.
And then you went back with your parents to Romania, too?
Yeah, my mom took me back when I was about 3 years old.
Oh, I see. And your father was already in Romania?
No, he was still here.
Oh, I see. And did he ever join you back in Romania at all?
Yeah, he came after the First World War, around 1918.
Oh, I see. And when you were in Romania, where did you live? Did you live in the same village that your father and mother had left?
I lived there until the age of 14. Then I went to Sibiu.
Oh, I see.
And that's where I learned my trade as a tailor.
Oh, I see. Now, could you tell us a little bit how a typical day was like in Romania for you when you were a little boy, either 14 or older, whatever? Well, maybe you could tell us about first of all, when you worked on the farm over there, then maybe a little bit how you learned your trade as a tailor.
Yeah, well, our day was like this. There, as soon as you're, say, around 6, 7 years old, that you could do something. Well, there was times that I had to watch the, I used to go out in the field and watch the, we had cows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to watch them, keep them in the pasture, so they don't eat the corn. And then as I grew up, then I used to go on, out in the field and hold the corn and cut wheat and cut timber, anything that a man would have to do.
I see. What type of a housing did you have in Romania at that time?
Well, the house was a two-room house with the outer brick with stucco on the outside.
I see.
Yeah. And the roof is this clay shingles, you know, like you see in Spain and Mexico.
Did you have animals next to the house, or did you have the animal barn someplace else?
Yeah, the barn was at the end of the yard.
I see. And the field that you would cultivate and grow crops on, was it next to the barn or was it elsewhere?
No, it was in our village, everybody had their land out and outside, on the outskirts. Now, some farmers, or people, they would have one a plot on one section, of, say like on the north side, some on the south side, and some on the west side, different places.
Oh,
you know, they have different places, but with us, it so happened that all our land was in one
section.
And there was about a couple of miles from the village. We could walk back and forth.
In that section of Romania, did they have harsh winters?
Yes.
A lot of snow? Or?
Yeah, just about like we have here.
I see. What kind of crops did you grow?
Well, we grow corn, wheat, you know, vegetables for, you know, potatoes.
I see.
And of course we have to have hay for the animals, you know. Mm-hmm.
Now, did you keep most of that stuff, that food that you grew, for yourself, or did you sell some of it also?
Well, I'd say 90% we kept ourselves. We needed it.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you became older, you mentioned that you learned a trade as a tailor. Could you tell us a little bit about how you decided that you wanted to be a tailor and how you went about the apprenticeship of a tailor?
Well, yeah, if you want to learn any trade, you know, you have to go for about 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that time, you're not being compensated for nothing.
Oh, you're doing it for nothing.
You're doing it for nothing.
And I
it so happened that I went for 3 years, and my parents had to give this fella some wheat, you know,
oh,
and potatoes. So I had to be 4 years there.
I see.
You know.
What made you decide that you wanted to be a tailor? Was there somebody in there who influenced you?
No. I just wanted to get away from the village.
Oh, I see.
I want to better myself.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you learned to be a tailor in Romania over there, did that change your way of life at all? In a sense, I don't mean of picking up a trade, but did you still have to work in a field like that too?
No, because once you leave the village and this job I was on, that's a year-round job.
Oh.
So there was no, when I left, that was the end of farming.
Did that place furnish you with food and board too?
In 4 years, they furnished a room and board.
Oh, so it was almost like a trade school in a sense.
Yeah, I had to furnish my own clothing, but as a matter of fact, it was a private fella that I used to live around in his house.
I see. Now, could you tell us some of the events that they had in Romania, how they might have had festivals or something of some type, and the way they maybe helped the Romanian heritage to grow a little bit?
Well, like in the village,
mm-hmm.
The only festival was big holidays, like for instance, like used to have Easter, Christmas, used to have dances, and of course, during the winter, the young people had dances, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And summertime, once in a while, because everybody was out in the field, they didn't have much. Now in the city, in Sibir, they have, like over here, you know, they have movies, and they have theaters,
oh,
you know. But I wasn't participating in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was something like here in Youngstown.
Who taught many of the young people at that time to sing Romanian and dance Romanian dances? Was it the parents or was it the school or...?
Anyone in Romania?
Yes.
We used to get all that in school.
And that was not, it had nothing to do with the church?
No, it was our school.
It was your school?
Church, it was strictly religion.
Mm-hmm. Now, to talk about church a little bit, could you tell us what the church looked like in your village?
Well, again, it was a brick building with a stucco.
It was a white, gray, or what year?
It was white.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the inside was blue, you know, and had like skies, you know, and all mm-hmm. kind of icons and all that.
Did it resemble the present church on Wick Avenue at all in any respect?
Of course, it was more. Okay, Tutoma. We won't have the seats on the sides. There's none in the center. People had to stand up.
Everybody. I see.
Yeah.
And was the altar basically the same set up as the present altar?
Yeah, very much the same, yes. Of course, it's a smaller room, you know, smaller.
Mm-hmm. Now, also, in the village, did most of the people go to the Orthodox Church or did they go to the Catholic Church too?
Well, it so happened in our village, they're pretty much divided, like, you know, about half and half. They had their own church and we had our own church.
Oh, I see. Now, did both of those churches get together sometime and try to have different functions that they
together? No. Of course, that was the Byzantine Catholic, not Roman Catholic.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Did you ever attend a wedding over there while you were in Romania?
Yes.
Could you tell us how a Romanian wedding was like in Romania at that time?
Well, you mean the day of the wedding?
Well, how the reception was.
Well, they would go to church,
mm-hmm.
like mostly in the afternoon.
And was it mostly on Saturday or Sunday?
Mostly Sunday.
Sunday.
Mostly Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when people were free, you know.
I see.
And they would go around maybe 2-3 o'clock. To church, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then in the evening, then they have a reception at the bride's house.
Oh, you got the bride's house?
Church of bride's, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Oh. And then, of course, 99% times out of 100, they have also an orchestra.
And they play Romanian music, sir?
Oh, strictly Romanian.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Do they have any cakes? Like you have wedding cakes now, do they have any of that in those days?
No, they were having basically, you know, they have pigs in a blanket. In the wintertime used to have used to kill a pig, you know, and have sausage and all that.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing was pigs in a blanket. Now the pastry consisted of I don't know how to call it, kolach.
Kozanak,
yeah. Or some call it kolach, some kozanak. Yeah. And they made some donuts, so none of these spongy cakes, no.
Oh, I see.
And then they had their own drinks, of course, and everybody made a little bit of wine.
Oh, I see.
And then they had wine, and then they had, even had some homemade whiskey, you know, just to make their own whiskey out of fruit.
I understand that over here, they used to have like the master's ceremonies. Did they have anything like that at the wedding of Romania?
Yes.
What was his function?
Well, his function, of course, besides the nanash, you know, his function is to, he was telling everybody what to do, you know, like sit down, and he would hold a speech, you know, in honor of the newlyweds, and he'd tell them about the next village to us, that the same MC, you call it, he'll have a speech before the bride leaves the house.
Oh.
And she takes a farewell from her parents.
I see.
You know, and she wanna, he's called for her. Like she said, she was telling her parents that if she ever did something that she wasn't supposed to, she wanted to apologize. And
mm-hmm.
It's a custom. It's just like a farewell and anything that the man wasn't, she might have done something that the parents didn't like, she wanted their forgiveness.
Did they go on honeymoons at all over there?
No.
No honeymoons at all?
No.
Also, regarding different events like that, it's customary over here on Christmas Eve that people go around to sing carol songs. Do they do something like that in Romania?
Oh yeah, very much so. And that was Christmas Eve, not like over here, 2-3 days before Christmas.
Oh, I see.
It was always Christmas Eve.
And they would go and see everybody from the church?
Yes, the children, and sometimes the channel go early in the evening, you know. And sometimes, in our village especially, the grown-ups used to go at night and used to go in the church tower, you know, way up by the bells, and they would carol a lot. You could hear all over the village.
And New Year's Eve is customary among many of the people in the United States to have New Year's Eve parties and usher in the New Year like that. Was that customary in Romania too at that time?
Well, in the big cities, yes. But in the village, a couple used to get together, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just have a social night. Because they would welcome the new year.
So that was customary there too.
Yeah.
Also about Romania, type of transportation that they had in the village. What did they have? Did they have automobiles? Did they have horse and carriage? Or what was it, do you recall?
Yeah, well, when I was a small child, the only transportation we would have was by train. We were lucky enough with the railroads going through our village.
I see.
Now, there was a highway, too. Now, and sometimes, if you want to go someplace in a hurry, you hire a carriage, you know. It's like some people had horses, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they would do just that, you know. But they would work the horses, too. They wouldn't care just for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, if it was an emergency, you go and tell them that you want to go somewhere, you hitch up the horses and they take you to the next town.
I see. What about in the city when you went to apprenticeship for Taylor? Did they have a lot of horses or did they start bringing automobiles in too?
When I went to learn my trade, it was mostly streetcars. And every now and then you see these carriages with horses. And I used to see them mostly in front of a hotel, you know, like somebody on a road. That's what I see. Most of the time was streetcars.
I see. Did you ever make a trip back to Romania since you came?
Yeah, I made about three or four.
Have you noticed any changes that have occurred in maybe that village and where you learned your trade? Has there been a lot of changes or has it stayed about the same?
Well, of course, they...
I know there's a new government like that, but I mean not politically,
no,
I mean
no,
culturally.
Yeah. Well, they have a lot of these new buildings, you know, I mean, for people to live in, but I mean...
This is their city, sir?
Yeah, what I learned, I think.
Oh, I see.
And then, of course, they have quite a few different factories, you know, like
mm-hmm.
machinery and parts
yes.
factory and all that. They improve, I mean, they expand.
What about in the village? Or are the houses, when you went and visited Romania, basically the same as when you left and came to the United States?
Well, there were some new ones. But the old ones are pretty well run down for lack of material to fix them up.
Is it customary among the Romanian people over there to pass their house from generation to generation?
Yes. As a rule, the oldest boy in the family is generally supposed to...
What if there isn't any boy? Does it go to the oldest girl then?
Yes. Whoever survives.
The oldest one. Also, in relation to the housing in Romania, did the houses have floors as we have here, or were they dirt floors?
Well, when I was small, they had some dirt floors, but now they're all wood floors.
And did they have running water when you were small, or was it
no.
well water?
But I understand that last year in our village, they put in water.
Oh.
And they also put gas, too.
Oh, gas.
Because it so happened we're near Mediaș, that's where the supply is.
Mm-hmm.
We have wells there close to us. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's other places around for garage, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it's near Sibiu. There is no gas. They still have to make the fire with wood.
They have electricity, though?
Yes.
I see.
Electricity they do have.
Mm-hmm. Now, when did you, as a young boy, come to the United States? How old were you?
Really? I was 18.
And what year was that, sir, do you recall?
1927.
What motivated you to come to America now when you were 18? Did you want to get to a better way of life, or...?
Well, I'll tell you, I could say what hastened my coming over here. There was a family from Cleveland. Went back to Romania. Family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that... the town where I, see, after I learned the tailoring, I left Sibiu, I went to another town.
Mm-hmm.
And in this town, every fall, we used to have a dancing teaching,
mm-hmm.
dancing teaching school, like Arthur Murray here.
Mm-hmm. So did they teach Romanian dances, or did they teach modern dances?
Modern dance. Romanian dance at all, mostly modern.
Right.
So when you join that, that generally happens in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
When you join that, then, that group, they introduce all the boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
So they know each other, you know. So you could ask the girls for a dance or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this family from Cleveland, they took a daughter with them too. She must have been around 18, 20.
Mm-hmm.
And she joined the classes too.
Oh.
And it was something big that she come from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So I told them, I said, well, I mean, I was born in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as she found out that I was from the United States, she talked me into coming to this country because she didn't like it at all in Romania.
Did you know any English at that time, sir?
No, I never did.
How old were you when you went to Romania?
I must have been around 3-4 years old.
I see.
So I didn't.
So you forgot any Romanian, any English that you
I never knew any.
Oh, in other words, your parents spoke to you?
They didn't know themselves.
Oh, so when they...
When they came over here, I was green as they come.
Oh, I see. So they didn't talk Romanian English to you at all over here, and they didn't learn too much English over here. So you just knew Romanian.
Yeah.
Oh, you did fine.
So this girl taught me to come into this country.
I see. And where did you go, to Cleveland?
No, she was from Cleveland, but I...
Did you have any relatives here?
Yeah, my aunt, Mrs. Desachan.
And what part of Youngstown did you go to, sir?
Anissa, Angola.
Were there a lot of Romanians living there?
Not too many, no.
So
here and there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the Romanian district by far.
Where were some of the Romanian districts at during that time?
Well, I would say Poland Avenue.
Poland Avenue?
Poland Avenue, yeah.
Yeah.
Poland Avenue.
But how many families would you consider? Maybe about 10, 20?
At least 20. Yeah, on top of Poland Avenue, Alexander, you know, and Parnell, and so on.
Now, when you came to this country, did you find it hard to change to the American way of life? In other words, here you knew only Romanian. How did you go about learning English?
Well, it so happened that my boss taught me, Taylor, he was German.
You mean a boss in Romania?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Romania. He was German. And by knowing German, it made it a lot easier for me.
Oh, so you spoke German?
Yeah, and on my job, it so happened that the foreman, he was German.
Oh, where did you work over here, sir?
Well, the fellow is dead. The shop closed up.
Oh, so you worked as in a shop?
I mean, I worked, see, this fellow was Fred Blewett, he was English. And he had a foreman, he was German. And
oh.
I talked German with him, otherwise I wouldn't have been able to work right away.
Mm-hmm. And how did you start learning English? Did you go to school for that, or
no.
Just talking to people?
I picked up the vindicator, and that's what taught me how to read and write.
Oh, I see.
Just from the vindicator.
Oh. And how was it when you would go to the store? Was it hard to communicate with people when you wanted to buy something, or...?
Well, at first there was a little bit, but believe me, in no time I learned.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you came here, did you see that when you saw the Romanian people here, were there a lot of difference between the Romanian people who were living in America and the Romanian people who were living in Romania in way of culture?
At that time, there wasn't that much difference.
When did you start noticing some differences to occur? Was it after World War II or before World War II?
Well, the new generation come up.
Oh. So that would be during the war?
Yeah, you take some of those Romanians came over 50 years ago, 46 years ago when I came over.
Mm-hmm.
They were just here in this country, but otherwise they live just like in our country.
I see. So it's when, more or less then, when they would have children, American-born children.
That's when the change took place.
I see. Now, when you came over here, sir, what church was in existence in Youngstown? Was it the one on Wick Avenue or Wilson Avenue?
Wilson.
Could you describe a little bit what that church looked like on Wilson Avenue? What do you recall it looked like?
Well, it wasn't a big church, and it was a frame house, you know, church.
Was it wooden? Was it brick?
Wood.
Oh, white, gray?
No, it was painted gray. It was the rest, yes.
I see. What did it look like inside? Did it resemble a church in a village in Romania?
It resembled more than the present church, yes, because it was in a smaller area.
In other words, they had seats around the sides, too,
yes,
like the one in Romania?
Yes, yes.
Did they have seats in the center at all, or did people have to stand?
The way they called it, they have some benches.
Oh.
Yes.
Now, in Romania, I forgot to ask you, that church you had in Romania, did they have Sunday school or choir or anything like that?
No, because we had our religion teaching two times a week in school.
Oh, in school.
In school. And we were taught religion. But it was part of our education.
I see. And so it would be almost like a parochial school is today.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah.
Now, did the church on Wilson Avenue have any Sunday school or choir, do you recall?
Yeah, they did have a choir.
Who was the minister at the church on Wilson Avenue when you, when it was going to close up like that?
It was Father Sunil.
Father Sunil. Were you here when there was somebody else other than Father Sunil? Or was he the one that was present when you came here, sir?
Well, there was a, I think there was, the way I remember, there was an, another priest, I just can't think of his name. But he didn't stay long, because Parintila Sanila came right after that.
Mm-hmm.
He was been here all the time.
Now, could you tell us, basically, when did the Romanian people decide that they wanted another church? What about when was it? Was it during the 30s or the 40s that they made the decision?
Well, it was towards 40, because our church was completed in 42 on the Academy.
I see. Now, what do you think motivated the Romanian people to get another church? Was it because it was too small in one of those scenarios, or?
Too small, and the neighborhood is going down.
Oh, I see.
Color people creeping in all around, you know. And we decided to get out of there, which was a good move.
I see. Now, who decided upon inquiring about this almshouse on Wick Avenue? Was it the church council, or was it some of the old founders that decided upon it?
Church council, of course, but the way they call Rudy, man, he had, he's quite influential.
I see.
Of course, Tom Flicka, you know, he's the president for 10 years. And
mm-hmm.
It was a little bit of both. It wasn't just one person.
Now, why did they choose up over there? Was there any basic reason why they chose up?
It was because of the cultural district.
Oh, and that was the cultural district of Youngstown?
Yes.
I see. And when they bought the place and wanted to convert it to the church, what the changes did they do? Did they tear the whole building down, or did they tear basically the inside and just a little bit on the outside?
Yeah, very little on the outside. It was mostly inside. Of course, the hall was, there was a lot of work done on the hall, social hall.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Did they save any of that wood and use it anything?
Oh, yes. You noticed all them doors, you know, they're, I bet you that 2-3 inches thick.
You mean the doors for the altar? Or the
yeah,
doors for the
altar? You know, a lot of the altar wood. As a matter of fact, there's not too many churches that have that kind of wood.
What is that? That's
It's all the line of
cherry or something.
Yeah, it's all brought from South America.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, did they save any of that wood from the house too?
Oh yes.
So in other words, they saved what they could.
Yes.
But how long did it take them to remodel that house into a church? Do you recall? Was it about a year or two?
Yeah. Well, from 6 months to almost a year.
Mm-hmm. And they made a residence for the priests to live upstairs?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And while the church was going on, we used to have services in the hall, too.
Oh, you mean you didn't keep services going on at that church on Wilson Avenue? Did you sell it before you moved?
Yeah, well, the way I remember, we did move from there because the colored people bought it.
Oh, I see. So in other words, while the building was still going on, you were having church
again? Yeah. We have some in Wilson, but the way they call it, when the hall was enough so people could get in, we have some in the hall.
I see. Now, in regards to culture now, we talked about the church. In regards to culture, sir, were changes starting to take place now in the way that you described the wedding in Romania and so forth? And I understand that I could see where when the people would come from Romania over here, they would bring the ideas like that. Were there changes that were starting to take place in the culture and the way of life of some of these Romanian people? Are they becoming more Americanized now a little bit?
Yes. And especially the ones that have children.
Mm-hmm. Now, do they still, however, in maybe church affairs like that, when they would have dinners, do they still have some of their Romanian food, like pig in a blanket and chicken and like that?
Yeah, that's very much to the present day.
Mm-hmm. Now, was there any attempt made during that time to teach children the Romanian language and culture? In other words, a long time ago, I understand, maybe even before you came here, they used to have Romanian theater and school and so forth. Did they have anything like that during the 40s on Wick Avenue, do you recall?
That was mostly done at the society.
Our society did?
Yes. Our church was concerned mostly with choir.
I see.
And as far as having plays and theaters and dances, that was taken by the society upon that.
And they were still doing it at that time?
Oh, right? Yes. When did they came over, yes, very much so.
When did they really start slowing down and almost stop doing such things? Was that during the 40s, 50s? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, well, I'd say during the 40s,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
When the new generations came into
yes.
being.
And then the war, World War II.
Yes.
And that kind of put a damper on it too.
Now, what changes would you like to see occur regarding the Romanian church on Wick Avenue? Would you like to see any changes now occur regarding it? Would you like to see the services done entirely in English? Would you like to see them to keep some Romanian? Or what is your idea, sir?
Well, I would like to see about 75% in American, about 25% in Romanian.
Do you foresee in the future that it would be done entirely in American and no more English?
I'm afraid so. But the way they do now, they're trying to teach these young ones, they might save it, you know, because right now they're trying to, in Sunday school, they teach them all the Romanian and dancing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that might hold things together.
I see. How do you and your family feel about your Romanian heritage? How do you feel about it?
Well, I, for one, not because I grew up there, I am very proud to be a Romanian. Because our Romanian, in general, they're good people, they're thrifty people, and they're no troublemakers. You never hear any, you know. If I feel that if everybody would behave and do things like the Romanians, we would have less problems.
I see.
And that goes for a lot of other nationality, no, not just Romania. I'm not partial. No. The Slovak, the Hungarian, they're about the same class of people.
I see. In other words, the Slavic people in general.
Oh, yes.
What changes would you like to see occur in relation to today's Romanian community in the United States? Would you like to see an attempt to be made to teach the Romanian culture to them, or do you think that it's a little bit too late and just let it become completely Americanized?
In church?
No, I mean at the community itself.
Oh, community.
The Romanian community, in other words, the people.
I'm afraid that we'll be going to English.
So you don't think that there's really any hope in the sense of
well, of course,
keeping
like,
the Romanian
of
heritage?
Of course, like for instance, like the Irish, you know, they have this, their own, they still have some of the tradition. I like to see some of the Romanian preserve if we could.
Mm-hmm. How would you think that they could do it? Do you think it would be up to maybe Romanian society, or do you think it should be up to the church?
Well, it seems to me the society, they're almost on the way out. Our church is more or less here to stay.
So it would be more or less up to the church then to do it?
Yeah, to help it along, yeah. But the society,
do you think that then the church should have different functions that not necessarily have to do with the church itself, but I mean to aid the Romanian culture to give the people a chance to use the facility, like the hall, like that, for different gatherings and like that, because the society doesn't have any hall over here.
Yeah, well, I'm in favor for to for our church to let the let them use the hall for that purpose, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that we could maintain or keep our heritage.
In other words, what I meant is the church to permit the remaining people to use the facilities other than the altar like that to keep the heritage going.
Yeah, just for that purpose, not to have all kind of wild dances and all that. I'm against that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that our church over here is very prosperous in a sense that it has built itself up and has been kept going. Have you noticed any changes that have occurred through the years in the church, in this prosperous development and like that, other than the changing to Romanian, to English language from Romanian? Has there been any other changes that you have noticed too?
Well, I'm talking about just strictly our own church.
Mm-hmm.
What I noticed is that these young people, they have so many functions. And they want so many things, you know, from the church.
I see.
But as far as contributing towards, I don't think they're doing their job.
Right. Do you see any way that something could be done to motivate them to contribute a little bit to it? How would you go about motivating them? Motivating them means making them feel that they want to contribute something to it.
Well, this.
Or do you think that this has to come from the person inside?
Yeah, and it seems to me that if a priest caters more to these young ones, you know, that would help for the people to support the church more, you know. But what I mean is that if we just forget about the young generation, well, the young people lose interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if the priest especially caters to these young people, that would help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to have the young people.
Now, I know they do caroling over here. We talked about caroling. The church helps with this too. Do you think that the church could probably have somebody try to get some of the young people who want to learn to sing Romanian, to teach them to sing Romanian, to go and carol in Romanian and also in English to various houses? Or do you think it should be almost like you've been doing almost entirely in English?
Well, talk about caroling. I've been going just about every year.
I know.
People, even the so-called new generation, they still like the Romanian carols.
And sung in Romanian?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, that's all we sing is Romanian.
Oh, but I have seen some other groups come and they sing in English.
And not us.
Mm-hmm.
Not us.
So it's up to the group to make that decision now.
Yes, yeah. But it seems to me that, of course, unless the somebody in the family don't understand nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But even the so-called, the ones that are born in this country, they still like to hear Romanian carols. That's my opinion, that's how I find out.
Mm-hmm.
when we go caroling. And I do go every year.
So there is still a feeling in many of the Romanian people, even the young ones, that they still want to keep that identity, even
right.
though some of them say they don't.
Right. No. Well, there might be some, but from all my finding and going around,
mm-hmm.
I find the young ones, they get a lot of pleasure out of those old Romanian
mm-hmm.
carols.
I see.
Because see, they hear that on TV, and this is something different for them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that maybe the society should sponsor some more events in the sense of, as now they're doing, they're teaching the young ones to dance, Romanian? Do you think
yeah.
they should keep sponsoring some of these events to
I'm in favor, and I'm glad that somebody's doing something about it.
Is there anything else that you would like to add in regards to the church and a culture or anything, sir?
Well, I am, like I said a while ago, I do like to see the priest cater to these young people, mm-hmm. and get the young ones,
mm-hmm.
you know. And again, I like church service in Romania, but I'm not selfish, you know, because mm-hmm. a lot of even marriages, you know, they don't understand. So I won't go beyond 75% in English at the present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Professor Earnhardt, who's in charge of this program, will listen to this tape, and if he comes across any questions that I haven't asked you and he would like me to come up with a second interview, would you mind if I come again and ask
no.
you several questions?
No. No.
Okay, thank you very much for this enlightening
okay,
interview.
Okay, and
sir.
I hope I contribute something to the program.
You did, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay.